Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all of the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Spirit divine, we wait for you. Open our eyes so that we may indeed see glimpses of your truth. Amen. In 1974, Donald Johanson, a paleoanthropologist, was digging around with others in the Ethiopian country and discovered what we have now come to claim as our oldest common ancestor. She was female. And as they were driving back from the dig site, they were listening. Now remember, this is 1974. They were listening to a cassette player play Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. They had just dug up this female. And one of the co-workers turned to Johanson and said, "How about we call her Lucy?" And that's what we've called her ever since. Lucy. Abram is considered to be our oldest common spiritual ancestor by three major religions: Muslims, Christians, Jews. We sometimes call Abram the triple patriarch because he is. And you heard Chris end today with, "So Abram went and Lot went with him." And then if we had read on, we would have heard something that Judy said. And he was 75 years old. And then if you read a little bit more, it says, "And so he went to the land of Canaan, which had been given to him." And there were people living there in Canaan. So there's a local theologian whose name is Linda Fabian Pepe. And she likes to contemporize this familiar story. And what she says is, well, Abe was 75 years old. He was walking out surveying his antique car collection, and he was admiring the new Rolls Royce that he had picked up for a song in Plano at a car dealership. But he stopped dead in his tracks because he heard, or he thought he heard, a voice. It said, "Abe, go, leave your country. Get out of your father's house and your homeland. Pack up, take all your stuff with you. And I'm going to show you your own place." Well, says Pepe, Abe was the ambitious type, and he was obviously driven. Maybe this would give him a little more power, a little more wealth. And it could be a new start for him and Sarai. And maybe they wouldn't have to take that nephew with them, the one called Lot. Maybe he wouldn't want to go with them. So they jumped at the chance, and Abe jumped at the chance to confirm that this was really a voice. This was God telling him to go. And besides, maybe there would be some nice things for him if he answered the summons. Well, yes, we hear there are nice things all in those little three verses, three and a half, four verses that Chris read. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. So many blessings. Not only is he going to be blessed, he's going to be a giver of blessings. Oh, and then there's that little part about he's going to be famous. Sometimes that drives us. So Pepe says, Abe runs to his wife and says, hey, Sarah, not really sure where we're going, but let's pack up and get out of here. And just as they're leaving, they see Lot coming out the door with a backpack and an iPhone and a Pop-Tart. And oh, he's going with us. So they have to change cars. They switch over to the Escalade. And they're all going wherever it is that God summons them. And the first stop is Canaan. But all of a sudden, Abe starts checking out his GPS. He thinks it must be wrong. It's got to be wrong because look, there are people in this place. And the voice I heard said, this is going to be your place. So he's confused and he starts thinking, was I just making all this up in my own head or is this really God's voice? And God says, yes, this is the right place. But this is going to be a step-by-step kind of adventure. I'm just showing you where your children will be in the future. That's the promise. And even though it already has people in it, Abe, she says, is flooded with emotion because at least he says, I'm not crazy. I wasn't making all this up. God was really speaking to me. And so, for the first time, he stops. He gives thanks. He builds an altar right there. And we're going to find, if we go through Scripture, the book of Genesis on, we're going to find that Abraham and his descendants continue to do that. They'll mess up a lot. Or they'll stop and think, what was this supposed to be? And they'll make sure that they have space in their lives to go be with God again and try to discern, is this where God is summoning me? And then when they hear that voice and discern that, they build an altar. And we'll find that all the way through the Scripture. Well, summons are not always comfortable. And in the Gospel of John, if we had read the New Testament reading today, we would have seen that. Nicodemus waits until it gets dark. And he goes and finds Jesus and he says, can you explain to me what the kingdom of God is? And when Nicodemus says, well, you've got to be born again, he went, what? And he takes it literally. But he's a one step at a time kind of person too. And if we follow Nicodemus all the way through the Gospel of John, we find that the Gospel of John ends up with Nicodemus walking right alongside Joseph of Arimathea, carrying exorbitant amounts of ointment for Jesus' burial. Being summoned, answering that summons is not always comfortable. Francis Perkins, whom some of you have read about just this past week, was one of those people that felt the summons of God. In 1911, she had graduated from Mount Holyoke College. She was from definitely a middle class to upper middle class home. She was sitting at a tea at a nice home, and suddenly, she looks across, there's a huge explosion, and the shirtwaist factory, which is 10 stories high, has burst into flames right before their eyes. And what they see in 1911 is exactly like our description and visuals that we saw in 9/11. Women on the 8th and 9th floors are jumping off to their death below because the inferno is behind them and they have no place to go. The doors are locked to the elevators, to the stairwells, in case somebody steals something. And at the end, 146 people died in that fire, 123 women and 23 men. And Frances Perkins' life was changed forever. She had been trained, for one thing, the job that she was doing. But suddenly she said, I was called. I was summoned to serve all the multitude of the poor. Because most of these people were girls from 14 to 23, recent Jewish and Italian immigrants who had come over here to make a living. And what struck Frances Perkins is that she remembered that 2 years before this fire, a girl named Rose Scheinenbaum had printed articles in the paper, had marched, had led a coalition of people through the streets of Detroit saying, the shirtwaist factory and other factories like them are going to one day lead to a lot of deaths. We have locked stairwells, we have locked elevators, we don't have proper equipment, and nobody paid any attention to her. And so Frances Perkins said on that day, she put down her teacup and she said, all of Detroit, we didn't listen. All of us share the blame of this fire. We can never let this happen again. She listened to her summons. And some of you know what she did. She went on to become the first female Secretary of Labor. She served with FDR all 12 years. She helped create so many important pieces of the New Deal Act. She also did so much to bring about Social Security. She was there throughout that because she said, I came to Washington to serve God, FDR, and the millions of people who are in poverty and underserved. It wasn't comfortable, but she did that the rest of her life. So during our Lenten study last Sunday, we looked around at tables and we all talked about, you know, are there people that we know that personally that have been trained to do something and they're doing a beautiful job of it, but they're summoned to do something else? And we talked about that. And we talked about a couple of people that we know and we all recognize right in the middle of what they've been trained for, they hear that summons and they respond to it. And they change. They change their vocation sometimes just to answer that summons. Do you believe in summons? Do you believe in God's Holy Spirit inspiring you and motivating you to do something? I received a call a couple of weeks ago from a woman in our conference. She's laity. Stephanie knows her really well. She doesn't know who I'm talking about, but she does. And she said, you know, I was a school teacher for years, and she said, somehow I felt summoned to work in the church, and I began working, you know, for the church. And she said, and then somehow I felt summoned to call you and ask you to meet with me. And she said, I have my own church, but it occurred to me that every time I look, and I see somebody that I say, oh, they have answered God's call. Where do they go to church? Well, sometimes, usually, I kept to tell you, it's Grace. And so she said, I just want to give you $400. And I want to say, I do this because I know you will do, Grace will do, the right thing, whatever it is. So you don't even have to tell me. Now, this person appeared out of nowhere. And I said, That is such a blessing. And she said, I was summoned to do it. I can't explain it any other way. It happens all the time. So when Abram hears God summoning, all he did was make an altar and respond just one step at a time, one step at a time. And so even if we don't have physical altars, and some of you do, but even if we don't have physical altars in our home or in our workplace, that's what's called for here, is for us to respond to something we know is God summoning us, one step at a time. So with Abram, God was about to do just remarkable things through him. He was later recalled Abraham, all by responding one step at a time. May we do likewise. Amen.